Here's publisher of GeorgiaPoll.com, Charlie Harper.
So what kind of mood is Charlie Harper in? He's in one.
Now in a that's really
gonna,
bad
that's
mood.
That's going to correct Sully in the middle of our intro for, you know, instead of saying thank you, Sully, for this hour a week you give us.
I'm very used to being corrected.
Hi, Robin. How are you? One day we're going to get Robin in studio. It'll be fun. And we'll just start asking some questions. And anyway, we won't do that today. Today it's a sunny day outside for a little while longer. I believe John Weatherby will be along in a little while to tell us there's probably some rain in the forecast. But it's a sunny day. We've finished 38 of the 40 constitutionally allowed days in a general session of the Georgia General Assembly to make laws, break laws, and whatever. And there's a great joke that I think we kind of paralleled here, where there's a lot of things that go in a lot of different directions that make no sense whatsoever. A lot of it's profane. And at the end of the day, we have two more days left, and I fully expect someone to walk to the podium in either the House or the Senate, bang a gavel, and say, the aristocrats. Because that's kind of how I think things are going right now. But let's just pick up on, we have Stefan Turkheimer and John Richards in studio with us today, and they've kind of been down at the Capitol almost every day. I've kind of been flying at a 30,000-foot level on this session, trying to work on a couple of very specific things, but they've gotten the general of it. And then all of a sudden, on Wednesday of this week, which was the last day that the General Assembly met in preparation for their Tuesday and Thursday meetings, which will be the last days of the session. On Wednesday, RFRA, or the whatever we're calling it now, but one of the various religious freedoms slash, there's five different names given to this, that because some people don't want to say this is about freedom. But anyway, the bills that we've been dealing with for 3 years all of a sudden got fast-tracked and passed both the House and the Senate. And if you follow the hashtag, hashtag GAPOL, which is where a lot of folks share political news, it's virtually unusable right now because everyone from across the country that has five Twitter followers is urging Governor Deal, who is breathlessly sitting there, I'm sure, watching the Georgia hashtag column on his tweet deck, trying to decide what to do about this bill. But it kind of went as the most, shall we say, party line, ideological line way you could go, where almost all Democrats voted against it, maybe all, Stefan I'm sure can correct me there. Most Republicans voted for. I know there were 9 or 10 in the House, but it's passed. It's sitting on the governor's desk waiting for what, based on what he said last week, I'm kind of expecting a veto, but then again, I wasn't expecting this bill to pass in that form anyway. So with that, John, tell me your version of what you think's happening over there.
Well, they were trying to pull together a bill, and there was a lot of effort spent, from what I understand, in meetings between the governor's office, lieutenant governor's office, and the speaker's office to come up with something that appeared to be a compromise that most could agree with, and that ended up being the current act that's out there now. Some would say it's an improvement from, well, just to set the stage, of course, we had the original Pastor Protection Act, which said that pastors didn't have to marry people that they didn't want to, that churches didn't have to host events that they didn't want to. So it was something everybody agreed on. That got morphed into a First Amendment Defense Act, which kind of opened the floodgates to corporations perhaps denying service to individuals they didn't want to serve based on their beliefs about marriage. It was pretty wide open and pretty much panned to the point where no one thought it was coming back. Meanwhile, you had the RFRA that Josh McCune introduced last year that was sitting out there waiting for somebody to pick it up. You had another version by Ed Setzler. A lot of negotiation. What we ended up with was kind of a hybrid of all three. There's a RFRA in there. There is the original Pastor Protection Act elements, and then there are some elements that were in the FATA, except that it took out corporations, and it also has an exception that says if I'm a religious organization and I accept a governmental contract that involves, let's say, a food bank or something along that line, I can't discriminate. If the contract says I can't discriminate, then I can't. The question is, Stefan, which is more powerful? Is the RFRA part of it that gives me the out more powerful than the other part that says I can't discriminate?
Yes, Section 6 beats Section 4, and that's kind of the problem. That's right.
I had Section 4 in my bracket.
Oh, did you? That's a nice line. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. When you set up the constitutional test to unduly favor the views of the religious over the rights of the affected, then that's the result that you're going to get. So I think the end result is that instead of sort of coming to an average of these different ideas, they really just multiplied it out. And so you ended up with the worst possible version of all of them.
And so I don't know. I mean, we in politics, we like to talk about winners and losers. Are there winners here? Who won out of this?
Well, if as the bill stands, I don't think anybody won everything they want or wanted, I should say. You have a RFRA that specifically eliminates defenses based on federal or state law. You have taken out the ability of corporations to essentially deny services, I guess, or not to do what they want.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the corporations lost just by this battle even happening. Because once again, we've had two groups use them as absolute hostages, and you're just trying to decide which side's going to shoot them. They didn't ask for this. All they're trying to do is do business. They don't, you know, the for-profit corporations are there specifically to sell and or to provide commerce for everyone, regardless if you're on the LGBT side of this argument or you're on the faith side of this argument. And for both communities to hold guns to their heads simultaneously and say, give us what you want or we're going to boycott you. This was a creation of the people that started this specifically to try to take federal RFRA and turn it into something in the, as the term is now being used, streams of commerce. And then the opposition then turning around and saying, if you do anything at all, we're going to extrapolate it into the stream of commerce. And then say we're going to boycott you. The business community is unambiguously the loser in this case to me, because both sides have been trying to use them as the hostage to get what they want. And ultimately, given that no one got everything they want, the business community is not out of the middle of this.
Yeah, I think the people of Georgia lost here too, because since those businesses provide people's jobs, and if they leave and the jobs disappear. And in addition, I think I would say I feel pretty strongly gay people lost out here too. The problem with this is, like, we get into there's two issues. One is the way in which this was passed, and the other is, you know, what it is. The way at which it was passed was so anti-democratic. There was no when we talk about this being a compromise, it was a compromise only among certain parties, and we left out at the very least 45% of Georgia that wants to vote for Democrats, but also, you know, the 75% of Georgia doesn't necessarily want this. And that was really the problem. And so what happens is you had this secret meeting, right, which the caucus meetings are, not secret in the sense that no one knew about it, but secret as in closed. And then they come out of that, and all of a sudden you're voting. And so it doesn't really give the opposition time to make a stand.
Now, are the Democratic caucus meetings open to everyone, or are they?
No. I agree.
I want to just make that point.
I was trying to. Secret was not the right word I should have used. I should have said that they were closed. But it was basically that 45% of the people that vote for Democrats are completely eliminated from this process when this kind of thing goes on. And so when the majority just decides to roll over everything and not even consider the will of the minority, I think that we all lose as people. And I think that we're no longer a Democratic state when that occurs.